Good to be back this evening. Good to see each of you back this evening. The Lord has granted us the privilege of continuing and concluding our worship service on this Lord's Day. I invite your attention to the scripture lesson that was read just a few moments ago from 1 Kings chapter 18. So if you still have your Bibles, we'd like to encourage you to turn to that passage, and we'd like to look at it again for the sake of re-emphasis. Notice 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 42 through 46. 1 Kings 18, 42 through 46. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, "Go up now, look toward the sea." And he went up and looked and said, "There is nothing." And he said, "Go again 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time that he said, "Behold, there riseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand." And he said, "Go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot, and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not." And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Turn with me to a corroborating passage in James chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. That's James chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. James 5, verses 16 through 18. James chapter 5. Verses 16 through 18. I'm being repetitious because I still hear pages turning. I'm trying to wait till you get there. Verse 16 of James 5, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Verse 17. Elias, or Elijah, was a man subject to like passions as we are. Notice, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Can you imagine that? No rain. 3 years, 6 months, 3.5 years. This drought was brought about because of the fervent prayer of the prophet of God. But notice verse number 18. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Elijah was a powerful prophet of God. We can describe him as a divinely enabled meteorologist who had awesome powers of weather prognostication. He was able to predict the weather with unerring accuracy without the aid of Doppler radar or satellite imaging. He predicted rain and was right on the money. You know, most meteorologists, especially in parts of the country where farming abounds, they are just empowered to predict the weather, to predict rains, to predict snow. And that's always been something that's fascinating to me, that a meteorologist can tell you this afternoon, you can expect rain all day Monday. Wait a minute. It's just Sunday. I don't see no rain out there. And the sun can be shining bright. They say it's nice and temperate outside, warm. But this time tomorrow night, the temperature is going to drop down into the 30s. Well, it's warm and nice right now. How can they do that? They have scientific measuring devices by which they can make these determinations. And I think that's fascinating, that they can predict when a storm is coming. They can track the hurricanes. They can predict the rain. They're able to do that. But thousands of years ago, God's Spirit operating in the bosom of his prophets like Elijah were able to make predictions. And not only were they able to predict the weather, but they were able to affect the weather. See, this was a meteorologist on a spiritual plane, Elijah. And he prayed that it didn't rain. And in compliance with his powerful prayer, didn't rain for 3.5 years. And they were in bad shape during that particular drought. God answered his prayer. He'll answer our prayer as well. But I'm not really focusing primarily on prayer and the efficacy of prayer in our lesson this evening. I'm thinking in terms of something else that I want you to think about. I want to focus on the value and potential of small beginnings. You know, we should not despise the day of small things or of little things. I want to call your attention to a little cloud. See, a lot of things that end up great start out little, start out small. Notice in verse number 42, Ahab went up to eat and drink. Now, Ahab was focusing on the physical in contrast to Elijah focusing on the spiritual. Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel. He had already just won a tremendous victory over the prophets of Baal. God had answered him by fire, demonstrating who was the true and living God. So Elijah went up to the top of Carmel and cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. Now some folks say, some commentators and so-called scholars say they don't really know what this meant. This was an unusual, unorthodox action on his part, put his face between his knees. But I think when we read from over in James chapter 5, we have a pretty good idea of what he was doing when he had his face between his knees. What was he doing? I think he was praying. Yeah, that's what I believe he was doing. I believe he was praying. Put his face between his knees. Then he gave his servant a command. Notice now, verse 43, he said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. See, when you have a servant, you can tell him to do what you want him to do. And if he's a good servant, what does he do? He does it. The servant, he didn't question his master. He went up. That's the way we're supposed to be with God. We don't question, how come you want me to do that? What am I going to do that for? Just do what the Lord tells you to do. That's what the servant did. He went up and looked. And you know what his findings were? He reported back. He said, there's nothing. I don't see nothing. His master said, go again. Wait a minute, now I've already been. I didn't see a thing. So how come you want me to go back? Don't question me. Just do what I ask you to do. Go again. How many times? Now, he would have had trouble with a lot of y'all. I've been up there twice and ain't seen nothing, ain't nothing happening. Well, go again. Well, I've already been up there four times. I'm getting sick and tired of repeating this, and I don't see no visible results. He said, go again 7 times. Just do what you're asked to do. You are not called to engage in a process of perpetual analysis. You get caught up in the paralysis of analysis. What you do is just follow instructions. He said, go again 7 times. You do that. If the Lord tells you what to do, do it. You might not be able to see any results immediately. And no great thing is created suddenly. Remember now, this is a divine meteorologist. And even before this, he had already saw through the eyes of faith rain coming, an abundance of rain. No cloud in the sky. Still, earth is still dry. But this divine meteorologist, he could see the rain. He could see it. Remember, not only us, not only are we mandated to walk by faith and not by sight, but Elijah was walking by faith. Abraham was walking by faith. Noah was walking by faith. He hadn't experienced any rain, but God said it's going to rain. It's going to rain, children. It's going to rain. You better get ready. Bear this in mind. It's going to rain. Elijah knew it was going to rain. But he had no concrete, verifiable, quantitative evidence that the rain was coming. But he predicted the rain was coming, and he prayed for the rain to come. Now notice verse number 44. It came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there riseth a little cloud out of the sea, small beginning. There riseth a little cloud out of the sea. How big is it? Large is it? Now they've been talking about Donald Trump's hands being small. I don't know if this cloud was bigger than his hands or not, but it was like a man's hand. I think I have a pretty normal looking hand, but can you think about that? That small? I probably would have had to have my bifocals to see a cloud that small. Like a man's hand. This was the beginning. This was the start of something great. This was the start. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot, get thee down, that the rain, what rain? Ain't no rain. Not yet. But the rain is on its way, that the rain stop thee not. It started. The storm started with a little cloud. Just a little cloud, just a small beginning. But notice verse number 45. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind. And it wasn't just a sprinkle. It wasn't just a shower intermittently falling. But the Bible says there was a great rain. Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. The hand of the Lord was on Elijah. The rain came. Started real small, but it grew to fantastic proportions to the degree it could be described as a great rain. Now somebody might be thinking, Brother Jones, what does that have to do with us? What does that have to do with me? It has everything to do with us. If we are a people walking by faith, faith is involved. Action is required. Persistence is needed. If you are to achieve great things, if you are to be great, if you are to grow personally, if we are to grow in our relationships, if we are to grow in our careers, if we are to grow as a congregation of the law, we have to do it by faith. We have to take action. We have to be persistent. See, a lot of folks just give up too soon. A lot of folks make an assessment of their size. They say, well, we just a small group. We just a small congregation. People start talking about growing. Jewel Hutton in the 50s, when he moved to Chicago, he began a congregation of the Lord's church around his dining room table. There were about six or seven that he started off with, if my memory serves me properly. But he built the congregation up to over 300, just a little cloud at the beginning. But it grew and developed. I want us to have the same kind of vision that Elijah exemplified. I want us to think big. Of course, now thinking by itself, without commensurate complementary action, won't result in real growth and achievement. But you can start right where you are. You can start small. And we see this illustrated throughout Scripture. God told Abraham, I'm going to make of you a great nation. He said, come out here. Come out here. Look up in the sky. Can you number the stars? Your descendants are going to be more numerous than the stars in the heavens. Come here, I want you to visualize the sand on the seashore. Your descendants are going to be that numerous. Wait a minute, Lord, you're dealing with a man who's already past his prime. You're dealing with an old fella. I was talking to little Gary and Jaden one day, and as a gift, spontaneous gift, I was offering them a few dollars. And they said, Brother Jones, we don't want to take your money. I said, you're not taking it. I said, I'm giving it to you. They said, you need your money. You an old person. Yeah, they said, you need your money. You an old person. So Abraham was feeling, hey, God, I appreciate your confidence, you know, but I'm an old person. My wife is old lady. And you're going to give me numerous descendants? By his attitude at that particular point, he was expressing his doubts. I don't believe it, none. God said, just watch it. I'm giving you some seed from your own lawn. You know, just trust me. But like the servant of Elijah, he was looking. He said, I don't see nothing. Don't worry about it. It's starting small. It's going to come to pass. But I'm an old person. Don't worry about it. And it happened. His descendants still populate the earth. He had numerous progeny because God promised him. We were just reading in our lesson this morning about a fella whose name was Jeremiah. Y'all remember Jeremiah, don't you? Yeah, Jeremiah. He was told how God had selected him before the very point that he was in his mother's womb. Before then, God had chosen him. God intricately wrought him while he was in the womb and had great plans for him. But I don't see much there. I see a fertilized egg, an ovum, in Jeremiah's mama's womb. But God had already determined that he would become a great and powerful prophet of God. He would become a spiritual giant. But he started out just like that little cloud that was as small as a man's hand. There was great potential there. When I see Jochebed and Amram, custodians and guardians of little Moses, he was a proper child. God had plans for this little fellow. And divinely and providentially orchestrated his protection and his development so he could rise up and be a great lawgiver and a great deliverer. He had tremendous potential. They say one of the first financial transactions took place in connection with the rescue of Moses. Pharaoh's daughter went to the bank of Egypt, or the bank of the Nile, and drew out a little prophet. And my, how he profited the people of God. Just a little baby, but encapsulated within his little form was great potential for good. A great leader, a great prophet, a great lawgiver, encapsulated in little Moses. What about your child? What about the potential in your child? See that little guy right there? I don't think I know him, but good to see you. Good to see you. He has the potential to be a great preacher, a great teacher, a great lawyer, doctor, elder, deacon. Well, you don't even know him. I don't know him, but the Lord knows him. Maybe I'll get to know you, son. That little lady there. Yes, uh-huh, I know you. But she has tremendous potential. All of our children do. You know, who is to be able to make an assessment of that little lady right there? Miss Jaden, bless her heart. A great scientist, great Christian wife, great elder's wife, great preacher's wife. It starts small. So we don't discount the value of anyone. Because God can accomplish great and mighty things in their lives. This little guy right over here, Gary. I see a lot of potential in him. And my eyes are not as good as I'd like for them to be, but there's great potential. But God sees all of the potential in him and what he can accomplish, what he can achieve. I see these young men back here. I see the great potential they have. They can be mighty forces for good and for progress in the church of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. They have the potential to do it. This guy might be an elder one day. Gary, Lou Gary, might be a great gospel preacher one day. And so I remember Poe Brother Jones. 40 years ago, he will have grown up and might be contributing greatly to the growth and to the vitality of the Lord's church. Starting out like that little cloud, small beginning, but resulting in something that can be fantastically great. You remember the parable of the mustard seed? Small seed, but grows a gigantic plant in which the birds of the air can find lodging. Very little, very tiny. That's how it starts out. But it doesn't remain that way. Potential. We have it individually and jointly, cooperatively. I always try to remember, and I've just about said enough, but any four-year-old can count the number of seeds in an apple. But even the most learned and academically credentialed statistician, mathematician, is incapable of counting the number of apples in a seed. Do you know that one apple seed can contain a whole orchard or 1,000 orchards potentially in one seed? Starts out real small, but it has unlimited potential for growth and development. We do too. If you're here and you're not yet a child of God, why not become one this evening? If you have not obeyed the gospel, why not do it? No doubt you've heard the gospel a number of times, and the Lord might have some great plans for you.